Saints for a touchdown.
It's your inside pass to everything Saints football.
See you later, bye. Touchdown, Rashid Shaheed.
We'll take you to places most fans never go. To practice, to the sideline, to the locker room. Following every twist, turn, and touchdown of the Saints season.
That is going to be a touchdown, Taysom Hill. Taysom TD.
Welcome to Inside Black and Gold.
To the end zone, and that is a touchdown for Chris Olave.
Now, here are your hosts, Steve Geller and Jeff Nowak.
Oh, baby!
What is up? And welcome in. This is a live episode of Inside Black and Gold. I am Jeff Nowak, your solo host for today. Steve is going to be on the radio in about 30 minutes. So you got to tune in over to WWL to catch up with Steve. I wanted to get a live chat in here because we haven't done one in a while. And, you know, we went over a lot of mock draft stuff last episode. So we don't have to do that this time. We went over breakout players last episode. The mock draft was two episodes ago. So I don't want to go through mock drafts that we did today. I want to go through mock drafts that a lot of other people did. So we're going to talk into that. We're going to dive into a lot of Saints topics. And I also wanted to get into a mailbag in the second or third segments. I don't know how many people is going to have interest in a mid-afternoon live stream. Maybe people driving in their cars shouldn't watch a YouTube video, but that's neither here nor there. We're gonna get into it again. My name is Jeff Nowak, and we are getting closer and closer and closer to the 2024 draft. And so what I like to do this time of year is stop answering the question myself and start looking at all the other answers that are out there in terms of who are the Saints going to pick at number 14. They have picks at 14, 45, and then they don't pick again until 150. So these seven-round mock drafts aren't exactly as exciting this time of year as they might be in other years because we're only talking about two guys maximum unless you do a trade, and mock draft trades are always crazy. But so what I do is I go to NFL Mock Draft Database. It's a great website. I've been using it for years. Guy just improves it every year, and it just collects mock drafts from everywhere. It's a perfect place to go for the thing I'm trying to do, which is I went through 40 individual mock drafts. And if you want to follow along with these, you can go check out the article on WWL.com that lists every single one. I went through them exhaustively. And why I do this is because I'm trying to figure out, okay, who are the most common picks at any particular draft slot, particularly for the Saints? And so what I found in this is I pulled down 40 different mock drafts, and it became very clear that there was one very specific favorite, and it became clear from the first one to the 10th one to the 15th one. And that is Olufoshinu, the offensive tackle for Penn State. At this point, you know, going into this draft process, he might have been a name a lot of people didn't know. He's quickly becoming a household name for Saints fans who look at it and say, okay, need a left tackle. There's a left tackle. Let's bring him in. And I think it is that simple. He would not be my pick if my pick was on the table. So that would be Taliese Fuanga, who was the second most mocked player to the Saints. He had seven selections out of these 40. Troy Fitanu was the third most selected. He was in five different mock drafts. But all in all, there were 34 tackle prospects taken out of these 40 mock drafts at number 14. So whoever you land on at number 14, it's pretty clear that there's a very, very wide-reaching idea that the Saints desperately need an offensive tackle in this draft. It's a situation that most teams would rather not be in because you want to be the team that has the ability to say, wow, Brock Bowers is still on the board. We'd love to go get him, and not have to be like, well, if we do that, Derek Carr is going to get his head taken off because you're going to have a turnstile standing out at the tackle position. So I agree with that. What I don't agree with is necessarily the reasoning. And in going through a lot of these mock drafts, I went through the explanations for every single one. And at least in 80% of them that took Fashanu, you saw Trevor Penning's name mentioned. You say, hey, Trevor Penning isn't working out. We're going to replace him with this guy. Ready-made starter from day one. And that's what I would say for Fashanu. If I was making the argument for Olu Fashanu at number 14 for the Saints, it is that as a pure pass-protecting tackle prospect, I think he probably is the best of the bunch. Now, that's what you'd call a high floor pick. And the thing is, if you are looking at this and saying, we need someone who can start on day one, this is the guy. Olu Fashanu is the guy. He might not even be on the board at number 14. We're all just spitballing, but in a lot of these mock drafts, he ends up there. And, you know, while teams don't have to do what the mock drafts say, and they almost never do, it does give you a good idea of how analysts and people who are observing the situation feel about what players would be there, what players will land where, and you go from there. But I do think it's missing a critical element here, which is the Saints aren't going to draft a guy because he's ready to start on day one. In order to do that, you would have to assume that, hey, they're giving up on Trevor Penning entirely, because you're looking at a left tackle prospect and you're saying he might have a low ceiling, but we're going to draft him because we need him to start right away. And I get the logic, but when you look at how this team drafts, it's almost certainly not going to be that logic. Now, if you get to 14 and he's the best option and he does fit what the Saints are trying to do with their prototypes, right? You're talking 6'6", 312 pounds, 34-inch arms. You're in a 5'11", 40-yard dash. He's got really good technique, but you would classify him as a weaker athlete on the spectrum in terms of what he's able to do in the run game. You know, what is his profile and how can he develop over time? I think your ceiling's a lot lower than a guy like Fuanga, who, again, another guy who might not be on the board at this point. So a lot of your decisions won't necessarily matter in terms of why you're making them, because the board's going to make a majority of them for you. If you end up getting to this spot with the ability to choose between those two guys, then you've already won, because you're just going to go with the guy that you like the best. And I think that's what you're looking at here. And I do think that when you're looking at the Saints, you do need to understand that they're not bailing on Trevor Penning. So they're not going to make a draft pick with that in mind. They're not, whether you think he can work out a tackle or not, they're not bailing on Trevor. So that won't be the reason they make this pick. I think people are taking too much time and paying too much attention to the left tackle position and not paying enough attention to the right tackle position in this draft. People are looking at it and saying, well, he's the best left tackle prospect, so I'm going with Olu Fashanu. I'm looking at it and saying, I think the Saints need a right tackle more than they need a left tackle. Because I think it's pretty bleak with Ryan Ramczyk in terms of what your expectations are. And I don't think he's going to be able to get through a season, even if he is ready to play, even if he is able to get back and play this season. I don't expect him to be able to get through a season. So I need to have his backup in place. So that's why I gravitate more toward Fuanga, who the only real drawback that I see a lot of people say is he's a right tackle. He's a guy who you're going to sit at right tackle. Now, there are questions. You're not getting a perfect prospect at number 14. You know, over time, maybe you decide, hey, this guy is a guard, right? He could profile the guard. And it's tough. You know, you look at Andres Pete. You took him at, I think, 13 overall, which is the same range. You drafted him as a tackle. You kicked him into guard. He was a three-time Pro Bowler at guard. So it's not the end of the world if that's what ends up happening. But I do think that the reason people are landing on Fashanu is wrong. Like, you can argue to me that he is the best option at that spot, but it should not be, hey, they're not going to trust Trevor Penning, because I do think this team is going to give him every opportunity to play. And it might be a dumpster fire and you might have to change course, but I think that's what you're going to see this season. Moving on, I want to go through the top 30 visits that we know about, right? Just to tie off this segment. And, you know, the funny thing about the top 30 visits is we get to draft day and we maybe know 10, 12, some teams a little bit more, some teams fewer. So you see, okay, this guy visited here, this guy visited here, they had a workout with him. In almost every case, you're going to have a top 30 visit devoted to a player that you're drafting. If you're taking a guy in the first round, the second round, even in, you know, the third or fourth round, get to the fifth round, you want to have had visits with these guys. So if you look at the top 30 visits from last year, only the ones we knew about, which is about 9 of them, Kendre Miller, Jake Haener, and Jordan Howden were on that list. So you talk about a team, hey, if you make 9 draft picks, and we know 6 of the players that you've had in for visits, there's a pretty good chance that one of these players, one or more of these players, is on that list. So I do want to go through it because there's a good chance that of these names I mentioned, one or more of them gets drafted by the Saints. So the first one is Chop Robinson. Now, Chop is intriguing because I don't know if he necessarily fits the mold of what the Saints want to do at defensive end, or at least what they have done at defensive end. He's a little smaller. He's 6'3", 254. It doesn't sound small, but it is when you consider that the Saints will typically go for guys in the 270, 280 range at defensive end. And you can make the argument that the game has kind of passed them by in that regard. You know, some of these bigger body defensive ends are not able to track and tackle the mobile quarterbacks. And we've seen the Saints struggle with mobile quarterbacks. So maybe this is the time you look at that. I don't think that he's in play at 14, but I think he would be in play at 45. So if Chop gets to 45, I look at him. You know, Penn State, he was not particularly productive in college. So you kind of try to figure out, okay, what is the vision for this guy? Moving on to the next one, Keon Coleman. He's very intriguing to me because I've talked a lot about how I think the Saints need to add another big-bodied wide receiver. Whether you do that through free agency or the draft, you can make an argument, but there just aren't that many NFL-capable big wide receivers on the free agent market that you could really expect in terms of, I think they need veteran leadership, and I would settle for a Hunter Renfrow and drafting your bigger-bodied guy. But I think Keon Coleman certainly would qualify. The only question for me with Keon is whether he's actually there at 45. I've seen him kind of vary a good bit in terms of what you might see for a draft slot. I've seen him go late first round. I've seen him go all the way in the third round. But you're talking about 6'3", 213 pounds. He had a 4.61 40-yard dash, 38-inch vertical leap. He's not going to blow you away with athleticism, but he's going to be a guy that makes catches in the middle of the field, makes catches in traffic. He's a Louisiana guy, so if you want that in your repertoire, go for it. 108 catches, 656 yards, and 18 touchdowns over the last two seasons. And I think he would make a lot of sense. I do think you still need to add to that wide receiver room as much as you like Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed, A.T. Perry. And no one's going to complain about adding talent on a talent. Kind of run through these next couple. You had Christian Mahogany. He's a guard from Boston College. And, you know, I should have mentioned this at the top. I did write all these up. So, again, if you want to follow along, I am going in the same order I wrote the article in. So, if you go over to WBL.com, you'll be able to find a write-up of each of these players and some information about them. These are all reported from independent sources. You know, Mahogany, he's an upside guy. He's a potential backup, in my opinion. He ran a 5.13 in the 40, 6.3, 314 pounds. I think he's probably a day two or day three guy. So I think this is kind of the range where, not unlike Nick Saldivari last year, if you are looking at those fifth round picks and they're burning a hole in your pocket and you're sitting there at the end of the third round, and you're like, hey, you know, I got a good look at Christian Mahogany. I like the name. I enjoy the wood, and I'm going to go for it. I think he's a guy you could target in that range like you did Saldivari last year. The next guy on the list, Marshawn Kneeland. And what makes Marshawn Kneeland really interesting to me is, you know, you look at some of these visits and you say, okay, why are you bringing this guy in? In a lot of instances, it's because you didn't necessarily get a good enough look at him at the combine, at the Senior Bowl, right? And so I probably should have explained this at the top. You're talking about top 30 visits. So every team gets an opportunity to bring in 30 draft prospects for a private meeting and work out whatever you want to do. There's some confusion with the name top 30 visit, because I think a lot of people read that as this is a guy they expect to go in the top 30. No, it could be literally anybody. It could be a guy you're looking at as a UDFA, but you just want to get a better look at them. And so you bring them in, and you can only do that so many times. There are limits on that. Now, so there are some exceptions, right? So if a school is within 75 miles of the team, you can bypass that, and a visit from that player would not count against your top 30 visit. It might be 50 miles either way. Tulane is really the only notable school that the Saints would get visits from that you would get away with. So there's no reason not to meet with every single Tulane player who could be a potential target in the draft. So I would be very surprised. I know they met with Willie Fritz before he went out of town. They got some insight on these players. I'm sure they're going to have a visit from Michael Pratt, guys like Jaquan Jackson. But they're not going to be on these top 30 visit lists. There are a lot more players that they met with at the combine, whatever. The reason I bring that up is you brought in Marshawn Kneeland for a visit. But you had all the data points you really needed. You saw him at the Senior Bowl. You saw him at the Combine. I'm sure they met with him at one or both of those events. So why would you bring him in for a visit, for a workout, unless you were very, very serious about drafting him? And this is a guy that I would not be surprised if he's in play at number 45. Maybe he slips into the third and he's kind of like Mahogany. You package together a couple picks and go get him. But if Marshawn Nealon's name comes on the board at number 45, don't sit there saying, "Who? I can't believe they drafted this no-name guy out of Western Michigan," because they're here kind of showing you their interest, right? So I can hear the criticism already. This is Peyton Turner all over again. Whatever. Obviously, Peyton Turner was a first, but he was a late first as opposed to kind of an early to mid-second. But when you see a team scout a guy at the Senior Bowl, scout a guy at the Combine, and then also bring him in for a visit, you know, they're trying to tell you something. And he's an interesting guy. Again, he's 6'3", 267. So in that same Chop Robinson range, 4.75 in the 40-yard dash. Yeah, he was productive this past season. He had 57 tackles, 4.5 sacks, 2 forced fumbles. I think he can get out into coverage a little bit more than some of their other defensive ends. He's very athletic. You know, I'd liken him to Foskey. I think this would be a similar pick to an Isaiah Foskey from last year. Take that for what it is. But it is interesting. Continuing along, you have a familiar uniform there in Northern Iowa. And it's a defensive tackle, Christian Boyd. You know, we already know the Saints have some intel on Northern Iowa prospects because I'm sure they did their due diligence on Trevor Penning a couple years ago. He was also a Northern Iowa guy, so they probably have those numbers saved in their phones. You know, so a school that might not be on their radar is on their radar a little bit more. You know, I think beefing up the defensive tackle position is important. If you don't go with defensive tackle at 45, Steve Geller and myself both picked Braden Fisk, the Florida State guy, at 45. So I wouldn't be surprised if you do go defensive tackle at 45 and this guy comes off. But if you're looking at defensive tackle in the third or fourth round, he would make a lot of sense. One more guy, and this is a guy whose name you might recognize because I've talked about him before, is Dylan Lobby. He is a running back out of New Hampshire. I know, it seems weird, but there's a lot of potential there. And I was very impressed at the Senior Bowl with what he was able to do. Now, he's never going to be a bell cow, a between the tackles guy who can knock people back. But he does remind me of a James White, of a Danny Woodhead. Basically, if this was 5 years ago and Tom Brady was on the Patriots, the Patriots would 100% draft this guy. Now, that's a good thing, right? You know, you think of guys like Rex Burkhead, right? Shane Vereen. He has that type of skill set that if you go back 15 years, maybe doesn't have a place in the NFL. But with the way offenses run now, a guy who can just get out and run routes like a wide receiver, which he can, is valuable. And he's going to catch people by surprise a lot faster than people think. He's a lot sturdier than people think. And I would not be surprised at all if you see the Saints drafting in the fifth or sixth round. You have 3 fifth round picks. If you make all three of those, I would expect Dylan to be one of those. I talked to him at the Senior Bowl, rather, and you know, I asked him who his game reminded, who he would comp himself to, and he said Christian McCaffrey, which was funny, and I know I've said this before, but it was funny because Luke McCaffrey was standing about 15 feet away from us, Christian's brother. He's a wide receiver for Rice, and he was also at the Senior Bowl. And I asked him if he had run his Christian McCaffrey comp past Luke, and he said no, because he didn't want to have that conversation. I did tell him that I saw him more as a Danny Woodhead, and he lit up. He was like, "Thank you," you know, like he appreciates that comp because that's the type of player he is, and that's what he wants to be in the NFL. So I'm interested if the Saints can bring him in the fifth, sixth round. I think whoever drafts this guy is gonna contribute for them at some point in the near future. Maybe not as a rookie. Maybe he ends up on a practice squad somewhere. But I really do like his game. All right, but that is it. That is the list. So we talked about Olufashana. We talked to Talia Sifuanga. The only other player that got multiple selections in my mock draft roundup, which keep in mind, it did include, it was 40 mock drafts. It did include mine and Steve's from the other day, which was a little misconstrued because, you know, I didn't want to go with an old mock draft, but this most recent one was trades, right? So Joe Alt, the only pick he got in the mock draft for the Saints was from Steve's mock because he traded up to 9 to get him. Tyler Guyton, he was picked once. That was in my mock because I traded down to get him. There was one other offensive tackle, and Marius Mims was another guy who someone put a trade in. I think they had him trading down to 22 with the Eagles, and they took Marius Mims. So I think that's kind of what you're looking at, is there are tiers of offensive tackle prospects. If you get one of these top three, four guys, you feel like you're there. If you want to trade down and get one of these second tier first round guys, you can do that, but you're looking at a Tyler Guyton and Marius Mims, someone who might not be ready to start right away. Only one defensive player was picked more than once, and it was Jared Verse, defensive end, Florida State. The other picks, Brian Thomas Jr., Brock Bowers, Jerzon Newton, and J.C. Latham was another offensive tackle who got a pick. So, you know, I think it's going to be really tough to sell people on a skill position player when week three in the season, Derek Carr can't keep his feet, getting knocked on his ass, and you're like, well, but we really wanted to get him Brock Bowers though. So I think the mock drafts are onto something, and we'll see. You know, the Saints love doing something that's going to make people say, what, who is that guy? So I'll never put it past them, but I think that gives you a good idea, a lot of these names of the people you brought in, who could be a lot of these names. I know the Saints have 9 draft picks. I've said previously, I would bet folding money that they did not make 9 picks. Whether they make 6, whether they make 5, whether they make 8, I think there's going to be some movement, and it's just a question of who they're targeting to go get it. But all right, let's wrap up that segment. Again, I'm Jeff Nowak. This is Inside Black and Gold, our first live stream in a while, so I wanted to devote 2 segments to a mailbag. So I know we have a good number of comments in there right now. I'm going to go to break. I'm going to go through those. If you have any hot takes, anything you want to talk about, throw it in there and we'll get through as many as possible. Who dat? We'll be right back.